celebrating the power of possibility. Heller and Hilton Hill presents
Anything is Possible Radio Edition.
Brought to you by Provision Cares Cancer Center, featuring proton therapy. One campus, one focus, cancer. Today, it's 15 for 15. A look back at the most powerful moments from the 15 seasons of Anything is Possible.
Welcome to Anything is Possible. I'm Haller and Hilton Hill. You know, when we created the program, I wanted to do two things. One was share hope. Hope is desire accompanied by confident expectation. And I know this, that if you're building a community, you're building an enterprise, an organization, you have to start by believing something can be or can be better. So we wanted to share hope through the stories of people's lives. The next thing I wanted to do was put a spotlight on possibility. The word possible means able to be. Because I know that your life can be much more than you ever imagined if you are willing to imagine it. And we've got the stories to prove it. In fact, we were looking at our catalog and we are approaching 400 episodes. In fact, in planning for this season, I had over 70 stories in mind to get down to the 20, 25 shows that you'll see this season. I don't ever run out of stories to tell because the universe never runs out of possibility. So on Anything is Possible, we have been sharing hope, and then we've been putting a spotlight on possibility for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's great to tell the stories of people right here in our community that prove that anything is possible. Because whenever someone does what they were called to do in a masterful way where they are, all of us get blessed. For instance, if Pat Summitt wins as many championships as she wins, it changes the nature of college basketball as a whole. But look what it did for our community. Look what it did for the university. Look at what it did for all the university graduates, the women that served under her that went on to become great people in their own right. And that's the value of one life well lived. So that's why we tell the stories of possibility, because possibility has a viral impact. And when people see, wait a minute, they did something with their life, what could I imagine for my life? We all are blessed by people living their best lives. So that's why we do it. But when I think of the title, Anything is Possible, first of all, anything, if you can imagine something beyond the here and now, if you can imagine something new, that's always great. But is the present tense nature of possibility. Possibility really hinges on you taking whatever is in your hand or what's in front of you in the present moment and doing that to the best of your ability. And here's what happens. When you do the thing that you were designed to do or called to do or that you've imagined, when you do your anything and you do it to the best of your ability, other opportunities open up. Story after story has been told here of someone who had one opportunity. They maxed out that opportunity and it led to a flurry of other opportunities. So this year we're doing something called 15 for 15. I've asked my producer Chris to pick out 15 snapshots or stories from the past 15 years and we share 5 each episode. Take a look at these stories and remember that anything is possible, that if you are willing to dream it and then do it, it can happen. And when you do that, you bless everybody in your wake. This is 15 for 15 on Anything is Possible. Valley Collins is my guest on Anything is Possible, and this is truly a story of possibility. Now, you're on the plane, you've just finished calling home.
Texting.
Oh, you sent a text message.
Yes, I didn't call him, though. I just sent a text message that said my flight is crashing.
Valley.
Yeah, no, I didn't have time to talk. I just sent the text message.
But, I mean,
yeah,
that's the text message.
That is the text message, yeah.
My flight is crashing.
Period.
Period.
With a period, mm-hmm.
Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. So you send the text message. She says, put it away.
I just put it away. And then about that time, we hear the words that I'll never forget. I don't think as long as I live, this is the captain. Brace for impact. And you know, you hear that and
looks different on paper.
It looks different on paper. You know, it really does. And there's that moment of, you know, being sad. I'm not going to see my children grow up. I'm not going to get to go home to my husband, see my family and friends. And then kind of your brain clicks and it's like, okay, Lord, if this is what you intend for me, then I accept it. You know, I hope you welcome me into heaven.
Come on, Valley.
It was that cut and dry.
There was no, there was no hyperventilation, no quiver hand.
And you could have heard a pin drop on that plane.
Really?
I've been in noisier libraries. I mean, there was no sound.
So then you had impact.
We had impact.
What did that feel like?
Well, again, I think it's perspective. You know, it was violent and it was rough. But when we stopped, I remember thinking, well, that wasn't that bad because we're all in one piece. You know, I'm still here.
So was it like boom? Was it loud crash? Was it?
It was like bumpy. You know, it was like, I mean, you've seen the footage. It was bumpy.
Yeah.
He brought that back down and we stayed down. You know, we didn't bounce or anything like that. I don't remember hearing a loud
any
noise.
Screaming?
No screaming. And there's kind of this.
And you're still locked down.
I'm still locked down. I'm still locked down. And then you have, you know, I had this moment of, okay, you know, you kind of pinch yourself. I'm still here. And we just kept moving. People slowly kept moving. And then the exits are like row 10 and 11. So probably when I got somewhere around 15, 16, I could see people spilling out. And then I went into the, God is good. We're going to live. Just keep moving. We're going to make it.
How do we need to embrace life so that we can actually embrace life?
I think time is a very interesting thing. And I've been always, like I said, a doer in schedules and calendars. But what I'm taking away from it is you don't know how much time you have left. And not that you need to sit back and always sit
right.
And, you know, spend your whole day at the spa. But what I'm learning is you do need to take those time outs every day to enjoy something wonderful about life and not get as, don't sweat the small stuff as much as cliche as that sounds. That's one thing for me. It's given me a new scale to calibrate against what's really important and what's not. I mean, what's worth my really getting upset? My 4-year-old's temper tantrums?
Nah.
Glad to be here, you know, and my children, I'm going to hug them till they let go. You know, I've decided I'm not going to be the first to let go because you've always got that extra 5 seconds to hang on to them.
Anything is possible.
This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information. This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information.
When I see you on the floor coaching, for me, and I'm biased, but the most powerful women's basketball program in America, I don't see a farm girl. What I see is a field general. And how do we make it from farm girl to field general?
Well, I think the fact that I grew up on a dairy farm, we had a log cabin was our home, and I slept in a baby bed till I was 6. When I got out of that baby bed, I said, I'm going to make it. And the discipline, the work ethic, parents that really taught us valuable life skills, and they showed me by example. And what better examples to have than two people that you love and admire, and now more than anything, I respect them.
Did you like it when you were going through it?
Oh, absolutely. Complained all the time.
Did you?
You know, my 16th birthday party I missed because we had a forecast for rain. You know, farmers get up early in the morning. They watch 10 o'clock news over in Middle Tennessee, and they plan their day. And I had planned to go to the country club. I never got to go to the country club very much. And there was two of us celebrating a birthday there, and I was going to meet up with all my classmates. And my dad goes, No, we have 1,000 bales of straw on the ground. You're going to drive the tractor. I remember being so mad, Howard. And I was.
Now, did you have the kind of father that you could show your anger to?
Oh, absolutely not.
So you grinned and you.
Well, I don't know that I grinned. But I went forward with what I had to do, and that was what I was expected to do. And I knew that was the...
Now, when he said no, how did he look at you? Did he look at you the way you look at your players when you say no?
Exactly.
Is that where that comes from? Are those your father's eyes?
No. We're going to work. We got a job to do. And I said, yes, sir.
Now let's talk about going to UT and building the program, because when you started out, there was nothing there. You were young. How old were you?
Actually, I was 22 years old. I had four seniors that were 21. It was just timing. It was great timing for me.
Why did they believe that a 22-year-old could build a program? Or did they just kind of say, well, we need somebody to do this, and you're the closest one?
Well, it wasn't like they were going to pay me big bucks.
Right.
Let's face it, Howard. And I went there on a graduate assistantship, and I had just graduated from UT Martin. It asked me to come be the assistant to Margaret Hudson, who was a head coach. A couple weeks later, they called back and said that Margaret's going to work on her doctorate, so she's taking a sabbatical, and will you take the head job? And I was scared, I'll be honest with you. I had no preparation. I'd never run a practice, never coached a day in my life. And I felt like I needed some time to think about it. But then, what an opportunity. I'm just glad that I had the courage. I think you have to have the courage to step out and do things that are out of your comfort level, or maybe people say you're not qualified to do, but you figure out a way to get them done.
Are the Lady Vols one of the preeminent programs in America because you planned for them to be that? Or are they one of the preeminent programs in America because that is the fallout, or that is the residue from giving your best every day?
They are the best because we recruit winners. I don't care how talented Pat Summitt might be. I learned from my parents, you surround yourself with winners in life. Winners are talented assistant coaches. Winners are talented student athletes. And then you teach them and you work with them every day and you try to bring out the best in every person you come in contact with. And I think you have to be the example for them. And you have to set the bar.
It is my honor to have you with us here at our studios today for Anything Is Possible. Welcome.
It's my honor to be here also.
You had a birthday in May.
Last day of May.
How old?
90.
How does that feel to be 90 years old?
I had a gentleman come up and told me the first time he saw me after that, said, Sam, you don't look a bit older than 89. But I feel good, and I don't have any pains. I take my medicine like I'm supposed to, and so everything's fine.
You know what, the one thing that really, as we talked through your story on the radio, that really got me was your smile.
Well, I've been accused of having one.
You have this wonderfully upbeat, optimistic spirit. How'd you get that?
I think probably some of that came from my mother.
Tell me about her.
All right. She lived to be 98 years old. And she was, you never saw her unless she had a smile. It didn't make any difference how tough things were. She always had a smile. And I just remember that. And she used to babysit for some of the families. And you could see her smile when the kids were. And she was so good with small kids. And so it was just something that I remember about her is her smile.
And why do you smile so much?
Good Lord's been good to me. He's blessed me so much that I just can't ever thank him enough, Harlan.
Talk to me about why you love this country.
Well, Harlan, this country has meant so much to me. When I got to see North Africa and Italy, and I just knew that when I could get back home, that's where I wanted to be. There's one thing that we can say about World War II veterans, they didn't quit. We lost the world. We lost worlds and worlds of them, over 400,000, which makes me realize how fortunate I was and how fortunate I was to be able to still be here and live in this country. And I made up my mind at that time that I was going to do everything that I could to be a blessing to this country.
Anything is possible.
This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by Provision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information.
Anything is possible.
You've been arrested more than 30 times. Why would a distinguished gentleman like yourself be locked up so many times?
You know, it's interesting. I was saying this morning, I've probably not been arrested now in almost 40 years. And that probably is not good. But my arrest came in terms of trying to make America the country it should be to all of its citizens.
Wow. Now, what'd your mother think about all of this?
It's very interesting. Half the time, my mother didn't know where I was in the country. And she would call Mrs. King, Coretta Scott King, and Mrs. King would find out where I was, where I was in jail, or wherever I was in the country, and call my mother back and assure her that I was all right.
Let me ask you this. Are you bitter?
Bitter? Well, no, I don't think I'm bitter, you know, but I think that I feel myself fortunate in one sense that I was born at the right time in the right place to try to make a difference in America. And I'm very pleased about that. And then again, this whole experience gave me an opportunity to meet some very unique people. You know, I guess I first met Dr. King here in Knoxville when he spoke at commencement exercise for Knoxville College, I think it was 1960, for all sum total of about 4.5 seconds. But I later on got a chance to travel with him and stay in the same residence with him because we could not stay in hotels.
So you had to stay at
home. So at home. So people would open their homes to us, and that's the amazing thing. People knew nothing about me, where I came from. They knew that I was called one of the freedom riders, right? Freedom fighters, you know, to open the doors. And oftentimes in the evening, in a dining room, you know, Dr. King was a very interesting man, but he liked to arm wrestle. And he sat
really?
At the kitchen table and want to arm wrestle. And,
you arm wrestled Dr. King?
Yeah, and I would take him down every time.
Every time?
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
Now, in public, that was a different situation. I would struggle with him, struggle with him, struggle with him.
And then you go ahead and lose.
Let him lose. That's right. I couldn't, you know, embarrass him in public. That's right.
I felt like God put a love for weather in my heart at an early age. I loved weather. I loved snow. And so in my heart was weather. Fast forward. On a sales call, I went by a weather service office, and I'm just going to check into weather. If there are any schools out there offer a degree. The gentleman said, no, we don't really have anything. He pulled open a drawer, and he said, we'd have one place, a pamphlet, and he gave that to me from Mississippi State. They had a broadcast meteorology program that was a two-year program for a master's. So I said, well, I was married. Lee and I were married. This is B.C., before children. And so we have to remember everything like that. But we prayed about it and decided to go back and to get my master's in broadcast meteorology. Felt like God had put that love for weather in my heart. But how there's a scripture, and I became a Christian in 1987. So for the years and the timing, this is very important.
A year before your mother passed.
A year before my mother passed. Right. God was setting me, my eyes, my vision straight for what He wanted to do in my life. That's the most important thing. I tell you, and this is just my personal belief. Again, I'm a very simple person, but Halloran, God is great. And I think He wants us to do great things for His glory. And I felt like, and you know, our boys have been able to, I see greatness in them.
Let me do something with you right here.
Sure.
Before we get away. My dad did something. It took him about 51 seconds to do it. My second oldest brother asked Dad what final words he would say to his kids. This is about 2 years before he passed away.
Right.
My father refused his request because he said he needed to prepare. He always prepared. So he goes in the next room, he spends a couple of hours, and he comes out with one sentence for each of his five children. Let's take your four boys.
Wow.
Imagining the greatness that you see in them.
Right.
And the possibility that you see in them. And to our viewers, you latch on to this because this will be a lesson in possibility.
Yeah.
Would you speak a sentence, call their name, and speak a sentence over each of their lives?
Wow. I'll start with the oldest and then go, Walker, you're an overcomer. Since the day you were born, God has helped you to overcome. And He's called you to great things for His glory. Davis, you have the heart of God and God is calling you to do great things for His glory. Nolan, from an early age, I believe God is calling you to worship Him in spirit and truth in music. And Stuart, our youngest, a lion. God sees your heart and He loves you very much and is calling you to great things. All four of my boys, I'm very proud of you. And I should say, Howard, I have four boys and a wonderful wife. It all starts with Lee. I'll be honest with you. She is Christ-like. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. I see Christ in Lee. She is unselfish. She is giving. And she really sets the tone in our home of a Christ-like spirit. And I'm so thankful that I have her as my bride and a wonderful example for our boys. Thank you for asking me that, because that's such an honor and a privilege to be able to speak life into our boys. And for folks out there, you know, God sees greatness in you and wants us to do, you know, great things for His glory. My life story is summed up in three words, Howard. I need Him.
Those are pretty incredible stories. And as I've said, we'll never run out of stories because we'll never run out of possibility. Now, I'd love for you to do me a favor. I want to hear your stories this year. If you know someone that has an incredible story, would you take just a minute to either write me a short 3 or 4 paragraph email, or better yet, shoot a little 90-second video where you tell me a quick story about someone who realized possibility in their life. All the information is on your screen. We'll see you next time on Anything is Possible, because it is.